Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. Always nice to have you with us. This isn't going to be an empowering hour. We're going to talk about how a diet that allows you to have a higher homocysteine level can really adversely affect your cognition, and it can impair it. So we're going to go through what you can do to lower your homocysteine and keep your brain healthier longer. Also, we're going to look at how junk food is directly related to sleep problems in teenagers, University of Queensland in Australia. We have a lot more on health and healing to share, and we also have some audio clips. One of these is one of tens of thousands of regular, non-controversial, board-certified medical doctors working in hospitals, treating people with COVID, and yet this woman, she is from Africa, she is able to say unequivocally that she's reversing the advanced stages of COVID with a drug, inexpensive, safe drug. It's been around a long time. So why aren't we looking at what she's saying and thousands of others saying about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and other drugs for prevention? Yet she is saying this in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're attacking her now all over the media. They're trying to shame her and get her fired. So we want to have you hear what one person in the medical profession felt so strongly about that they were willing to put their entire reputation and career on the line to defend your right to make more reasoned choices than just vaccines. Now, if you want to take a vaccine, that's your business. That's fine. But what if that vaccine can do more harm than good or won't protect you? What about the 501 people known to have died from using that? That is never publicized. And the thousands who've had injuries and side effects, some severe, requiring hospitalization. That's not discussed either. It's all for the greater good, like collateral damage. Well, that has to be a new discussion. Also today, an interesting commentary from Rob Urey from Counterpunch entitled Neoliberalism is Fascism with Better Manners. Why is that important that you hear what he has to say? Because today what we have is neoliberalism. The entire administration, and it wouldn't matter whether it was Trump or Biden, it's still the same. So I think that's important that we hear that. Then for those who thought, well, he's been dead quite a while, George Carlin, I'm sure he has nothing to say that would be relevant today. Oh, if George Carlin did this concert last night, it would be absolutely relevant to what's going on in the world today. So we have George Carlin on today. There are two gentlemen who I'm not familiar with who are also in the clip, but they all have something to say. And the one who speaks a little softly and is, I think, English, he's saying about if you want to get out of their power structure, meaning the establishment, then stop buying all their stuff. Well, that's a short way to answer a big problem we have. What is it we buy that we don't need? What else can we do to have a quality of life without their telling us what a quality life means? Oh, you have to have this $3,000 bicycle that you ride and look at other people in the mirror on, and it's really good, and you don't have to go to a gym. You don't have to hire a personal trainer. Yeah. Well, why can't I just go out and do a bike around the park or in my neighborhood? Why don't you do that? Save the money. Well, then you wouldn't be putting $50 a month into their bank account. And if you got 5 million people doing the same thing every morning, that's very little expense on their part, a lot of profit. But again, you're buying their stuff. And a lot of their stuff is you got to buy a house. Don't worry about the mortgage. You don't have to have credit. We'll give you a loan and you'll pay a lot of interest. And if you can't pay it, you're going to pay the rest of your life. But you want the house, and we want you to have the house. Well, why do you need a house? So we have some interesting things lined up for you today. But, of course, we start always with what can heal and what can help and what can prevent. This is from Medical University of Havana. It is published in the peer-reviewed journal MedICC Review. And what it says is relatively simple. There are certain markers in our body that we would not know exist unless you specifically test for them. One is homocysteine. One is fibrinogen. One is C-reactive protein. There are others. Triglycerides, for example. You're not going to find this in a normal, regular blood chemistry. You have to ask for it. It's inexpensive. But your homocysteine level is what frequently, when elevated, can cause you to have a heart attack or a stroke without having any other symptoms. But we now know that higher homocysteine that doesn't kill you will end up causing impairment in your cognition. And that is part of Alzheimer's disease. So that's this study. And they said that you need vitamin A, B1, B2, B12, vitamin C, and folic acid. I've said it hundreds of times. If you have a good B complex each day, where you're getting at least 25 milligrams B1, 25 milligrams B2, 500 micrograms B12, 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and 500 micrograms of folic acid, then you bring your homocysteine level down. Let me repeat that. B1, B2, B12, vitamin C, and folate. Take those daily, and you can protect your brain and your heart. And that's important. But it also means that if you have, let's say, some brain impairment, those are absolutely very good to take for Alzheimer's. There's nothing better than a good night's sleep to help our immune system, to rebalance our chi, our vital life force, to get us to be able to spring out of bed in the morning. But junk food, according to this study from the University of Queensland, does just the opposite. Quite simply, they're saying that eating too much junk food is now linked with poor sleep quality, especially in teenagers. Well, of course, I would also add having a laptop under one side of your pillow and a cell phone under the other, least off you miss something. But that's radiating electromagnetic frequencies right into your brain. That's not good. And that can adversely affect the pineal gland, which affects melatonin, the hormone that rebalances your immune system and allows you to have a deeper sleep and a good night's sleep. So at the University of Queensland School of Health and Rehabilitation Sciences, they found that soft drinks in the evening, bad for you. Junk foods, sugary foods, bad for you. And then, of course, you've got your full spectrum, potato chips and french fries and bread, any of the refined carbohydrates, bad for you. So, unfortunately, a pretty good percentage of adolescents reported stress-related sleep disturbances, and more common in females than males. Quote, sleep disturbance increase with more frequent consumption of carbonated soft drinks that often contain caffeine and or fast foods that are traditionally energy dense and nutrient poor. Teens who drank more than 3 soft drinks per day had 55% higher odds of reporting sleep disturbance. Yeah, and having coffee at night will also do the same thing. Having sugar at night will do the same thing. So just don't do it. If you feel hungry and you have some cravings, there's 2 things you can do. 1, get some organic popcorn and don't put salt on it. Instead, spray some lemon juice on it. It'll give you the same mouthfeel as salt, but no sodium. You do not want to be taking sodium at night because you don't want to spike sodium level. That is not good. A, it causes dehydration. B, it can adversely affect the thickness, viscosity of blood, and it imbalances potassium. So I tried this. You make it with, you pop the corn with grapeseed oil, and that gives it a buttery flavor, but without butter. and just spray some lemon juice, and you're good to go. And it will not create a metabolic rush, meaning your blood sugar will stay the same. Or you can do something else. You can get some cold water and put the juice of one lemon in it and drink that down. A little bit, doesn't take much, like 3 ounces. That will stop the appetite, I've found also. For those of you who are looking at something that can damage the body, electromagnetic frequencies can do that. And you have to understand that the more electronic connections you have in your house, now everything is supposed to be interconnected, then your whole house is a smart grid, which means that there's constant electromagnetic waves going every inch of your home, which means right through your body, into your brain and other systems. And what this study from Menenia University in Egypt found was that antimicrobial activity of rosemary leaf extract in this was good against testicular damage caused by the electromagnetic field. So the one thing that we don't ask is, why are so many babies being born deformed or dying or with miscarriage or stillbirth? One of the causes is the putting a cell phone in a guy's pocket, you know, wearing it, where that is radiating right into your reproductive system, and that can cause defective sperm, which means then that you, A, will be either infertile, or B, if you are able to have a conception with your partner, that it could end up having defective genes, and that, in turn, can cause the child to be born with all forms of problems. So they're just suggesting here in this study that rosemary leaf extract can help prevent that, at least when it comes to the reproductive system. That's good. All right, we need, if people are having an intentional pregnancy, they should really take their time, de-stress mentally, physically, environmentally, both people, so they have a chance of a healthy conception. Also, from the University of North Texas, research conducted at the University of North Texas provided new information about food science. According to them, this is out of Denton, Texas, which, by the way, is a quarter horse capital of the world. Lots of farms, ranches, and I used to have my ranch, the animal preserve, where we protected animals. I was just thinking about this morning. I was thinking about the day that my brother called me, Howard, and he lived full-time at the Healing Springs Ranch. And he said, well, what are we supposed to do here? There's this animal place that's in the middle of the state. It's a long drive. They don't have the money to bring animals here. The animals are starving. They went broke, didn't have the money to feed the animals, and they're all kind of exotic animals. What are we supposed to do? I said, well, find out how many animals, and we'll just rent animal trailers and bring them up. I didn't realize how many animals there were. I thought there were a few he was talking about. It's like 80 animals, all types. And when I went down a week later and I saw them, they were just emaciated. But what bothered me, and I was thinking about this morning, is these were once healthy animals. And they were out on this large tract of property, hundreds of acres. Elk and nilgai, adex and oryx. And these should be living in their natural habitats around the world. But they were collected and brought there so people could buy a camouflage suit and get a high-powered rifle and pay thousands of dollars and go out in a truck and stay 50 yards away and kill these animals. That really bothers me. It bothers me because what kind of insensitive person would do something like that? What are they missing? What lessons in life did they not get about respecting all life? And even Trump's sons did this, which really was repulsive. And they were sponsoring, you know, the whole idea of that somehow it was good for the world and good for the animals to go out there and kill an elephant or a lion. It's not. But we took them in, and because the soil was so rich, fertilizing it constantly. And we had a combination of all kinds of grasses, coastal, Bermuda, alfalfa, and they got healthy, and they were happy, and because no one was going to shoot them, no one was going to eat them, and then we just had to find them homes for life, which sometimes took years to do. But in the end, they all found safe animal sanctuaries with thousands of acres to go and be around others. But I was just thinking about that this morning. Anyhow, that's rhyming because I just saw the word Denton, Texas. It's about 20 minutes from Denton. But they found that botanical extracts or supplements derived from grapes are very important for the amelioration of neurological conditions, including cognitive impairment. Yes, this is important. Grape extracts, or grapes, eating grapes, drinking grape juice, grape concentrate, or dry grape powders. Quote, the accumulation of 3-methylquercetin-3-DB-glucanide in their brain suggested as a potential therapeutic agent, end quote. Now, that's the science of it. What it simply means is we've known that grapes are important because of the nutrient that we get, resveratrol. But this is another whole way that it helps. It helps the brain. It helps protect the brain and therefore helps with cognitive impairment, which millions upon millions of Americans suffer from. So the takeaway message, and this was published in a peer-reviewed journal, eat more grapes, drink more grape juice, have more grape concentrate, but get the grapes into your body. I know many of you do, but this is just one more piece of information to help your brain. This is from Rice University, and I want to share this with you because I find this happens with a lot of people. It's called an emotional hangover. What do I mean? And this was published in Nature Neuroscience. According to Rice University, emotional experiences can induce physiological and internal brain states that persist for long periods of time after the emotional events have ended. And it also shows that some people can have an emotional hangover depending upon how much they invested of their emotions in something, whatever that something is, whether it's a relationship or their work or, you know, their home. And you see this, by the way, by the millions, tens of millions, where for years, for decades, for generations, a person had a home in a neighborhood. Everyone knew everyone. Nobody locked their doors. Everybody went to the same schools, unless you were Catholic and you went to a Catholic school. But everybody had a social cohesiveness that bound them together. For example, in my neighborhood, and my neighborhood was about 7 square blocks, and it was a small city. Everyone knew everyone, and the older people always tended to have the nicest, most better kept lawns and hedges. But the rule was for everyone that if someone needed something, they shouldn't have to ask. You should see it, you should know it, and you should intervene and with grace and humility and help them, ask nothing in return. And that's what we did. So we'd know when we were out playing, you know, touch football or whatever it was, and we saw someone's lawn needed cut. Well, Saturday we go cut their lawn or something else. Everybody felt good about being there. But what happens when suddenly everything changes and jobs are gone and suddenly the drugs come in and then crime that supports the drugs comes in? And now you not only lock your doors, you're afraid to go out because the crime isn't just at night, it's all the time. That's the town now I grew up in. I wrote an editorial to the Parkersburg News about what I saw that day walking the streets of my neighborhood. Every single block was ghettoized. I would go up and knock on the doors of people I knew. None were still there from when I grew up. Most had died or moved. And why? I asked everyone, why? And they said, simple. Jobs are gone. You know, they've been gone for over the last 10 years. All these jobs that supported a middle-class working background group evaporated. So imagine then the despair. But I only found that despair when I stopped to talk with some people in depth about how long had they lived there. Oh, my family came here in the 1920s, and we built this house in 1930, and it's been here ever since. How's this impact you? They had that emotional hangover. They couldn't accept that things were not going to get better, which they are not. The money's not there, the jobs are not there, and more of the poor people who are on drugs are there. And by the way, the drugs were not hidden. Everywhere I went, people were doing drugs right out in the open. And that night, one of my buddies, his son is chief of detectives, and he said, it's overwhelming. You there's no jail large enough to put them in, and what would be the good? And so, people are just fending for themselves. You put your resources where you have the most serious crimes. And so I said, but you shouldn't look at this as a crime. When someone's on drugs, they're not there because they're happy. What happened in their life? Well, I happened to talk with about 20 drug users that day to find out, how'd you get here? The old White Star Laundry up on St. Mary's Avenue, I stopped there because there were two people doing drugs. They had like 100 cigarette butts in front of them. They were sitting on a step there. They smelled a high heaven. And I said, friend, how did you get here? And he told me a whole story. He used to have a home. He was an iron worker. Everything was good. And then the jobs left. And he was not trained in other things, and other people were already trained in the jobs that were available. So after unemployment, and things went sideways in his marriage, he couldn't provide. And so he started taking drugs, and just to deal with the emotional pain. I said, why are you doing the drugs? What do the drugs do for you? He said, when you have no hope, and you have no job, and you have no family, you want something to take away the pain of what you feel every day when you wake up, because whatever is happening that day, it's not going to get better than the day before. It was very fatalistic, nihilistic. So we have to look at this idea of emotional hangover of being far more pervasive than just the emotional feeling of a relationship that's ended or the death of someone where we can't get past it. That's important because now we have a lot of proof that when we cannot get beyond something, the energy of what we can't get beyond becomes our energy. And that can turn off our DNA from healing the way it should. And it turns on the inflammatory process. It turns on the disease process. It turns on the cortisol process. It keeps in a constant state of agitation, apathy. And then we can get suicidal. Quote, emotion is a state of mind. These findings make clear that our cognition is highly influenced by preceding experiences, and specifically that emotional brain states can persist for long periods of time. By the way, I'm going to be starting the interviewing process, not now, no calls now, in about 2 months, a little over 2 months after the retreat, for the first group of vets who are going to be coming to a veterans village that I built free. They pay nothing, and to help them, because you talk about people suffering from emotional traumas of what they've either seen or themselves participated in their conflict zones. And all the rationalization of the world doesn't change it. I've spoken with over 1,000 vets. I've helped so many. And the one overriding issue is, I should have known better. Whose war was I fighting for what? Why was I in Afghanistan? Why was I in Iraq? Now I see it. Then I didn't, or I chose not to. When you're hyper and you're conditioned to kill and you go in, you see everyone there as an enemy. And when you shoot someone, you don't think of them as a human being. Now I do. They're haunting me. My thoughts are haunted, and we call it post-traumatic stress disorder, and we give them a medication which can cause suicide. Are you aware in the last 24 hours, we talked about the Super Bowl and Tom Brady. He did a great job, and boy, is that good that ageism lost that round, 43, and he played like he was 23 and won his seventh Lombardi trophy. No one's ever done that in history. Now, he does not have a perfect diet, but he is a lot healthier than Brett Favre was and others and Peyton Manning, and who, when you look at them, they just didn't look healthy. And then you look at their lifestyle and you have to ask, well, you know, what if they trained all year round? What if they ate a healthy diet? What if they were fully hydrated? What if they took all the right supplements? Would they still be playing today? Probably. In any case, what we didn't talk about, what wasn't in a single newspaper anywhere in the United States that I could find, was 20-plus vets killed themselves. Most just put a gun in their mouth and blew their brains out. What goes on in your life prior to that, that you're willing to do that? And we're not talking about it. Isn't that deserving of a conversation? Isn't that an important issue? Because when you add up all of the people who have served our country and then taken their own lives, it's over 160,000. That means that that's more people have died at their own hand than the enemy's hand, or twice as many that died in the entire Vietnam War. Vietnam War. And that was not a short war either, and not a single discussion on it. Well, we're going to help vets without the medications and try to get them into different ways of processing the pain by better understanding the energy that went into it. And so when you can get a person to deconstruct the mindset that led to being in the wrong place at the wrong time, then you can reconstruct a healthier process so you can forgive and let that go. So we're approaching the day when everything else is done and the team is in place. Oh, and by the way, a whole group of Marines are going to be helping with the project as well, volunteering their time to help people rehabilitate, get jobs, get new training and new skills, and they'll be doing all this in the healthiest environment you can imagine, organic foods. And so I promised I'd do it. And so for Lewis and Jimmy, 4 years ago, I said you won't be sleeping in the woods with no water, no toilet. It's happening, all right? And if I can do it, others can do it. You just have to make helping people who cannot help themselves at this time, they need a support system, you have to make that a priority. And there are people in this world who could do that. We could help every single vet to get to a healthier place in their mind and body if we chose to. It's just not been a priority. And also, how earthing saved one man's life from EMF sickness. This is from Stephen Sinatra, who I've had on this program, and he discovered a new frequency literally made the difference between life and death, and he credits earthing, E-A-R-T-H-I-N-G, that's a movement spearheaded by his father, the noted integrative cardiologist, Dr. Stephen Sinatra, for his dramatic recovery. And according to Natural Health 365, that broke the story, and they're good, they get some good stuff. The proponents of earthing, or you might have heard it, grounding, they also use that term, that the technique of contacting the earth in order to absorb its electromagnetic energy can help reestablish our primal connection and reverse some harmful electrical charge in the body and dramatically improve health and well-being. That is the notion. And what earthing can do for this guy, he says, quote, I immediately got better. So I'm going to bring Sinatra on the program, and I'm going to bring the person who reversed his condition on the program, because he suffered a lot of problems with the cordless phones that were installed in his house and the Wi-Fi. And we'll hear his story. And then we'll look up all of the peer-reviewed scientific literature on the actual changes that can occur from this and show you what it says. That's coming at you. That's the latest on health and healing. We are halfway through our program. We're 30 minutes in. We're going to take a break. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to first hear from a woman doctor. There's no controversy. You come from Africa, from Nigeria. You were a minister in a church in Nigeria. You heal people. You help people. And you see what's not being done, and you're so outraged by it that you go in front of the Supreme Court and you tell your story. And for that, you're destroyed. This is the story you're about to hear. That clip is being downloaded. We don't have it at this moment. We'll have that for tomorrow. So I have George Carlin's clip coming at you. But also, one of the people listening right now is Mitchell Rabin. And Mitchell just said, "Oh, Gary, what fun we had there. I love that place. All the places you've gotten have their own unique specialness. But Tioga, Texas, what magical, the animals, the horizon, the sunsets, the salt and shower therapeutic house, the main house, kitchens, a real winner. And I ran some really good group classes there outside. People love them. Lots of laughter and stress reduction. And Howard, that's my brother, so funny a guy, so different from you. We used to laugh about it. Laurel and Hardy, yeah, that's right. My brother was very funny. And that psychoanalyst from Dallas who did the sweat lodges, so powerful. Love that guy. And the healing contribution to the whole. Howard Robbins once invited me to horse ride with him at the far end of the property at sunset. One of the best times of natural beauty on horseback. What a life we had then. Oh, and it's still good, no question. A bit more complicated, God knows. But we felt so good about all that we were doing. Mitch. You're right, Mitch. Now here's what I would add. There's no reason, in spite of everything else happening today, that we can also get up each day and look for that sunrise, look for the sunset, look for the people in our lives that allow us to smile and laugh and have a good time. That we're also capable of doing. So we can still say a year from now, boy, that was fun last year. All right? No need to be morose about anything today, or no long need to look in the rearview mirror of our life with this kind of unrequited exasperation of, oh, well, that's past me. No, it's not past us. With all this happening in anti-aging science today, oh, yeah, we're going to be adding years onto people's lives and quality years. So let's now hear what George Carlin and a few other people have to say about what's going on today. And this was over 10 years ago this clip occurred, and see how timely it is.
Forget the politicians. Politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the... They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting by a system that threw them overboard 30 years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money.
And what's been created? A world of materialistic value, possessions. And what do? We value our possessions. when the truth really is, you don't actually own anything, it owns you. And that's how the core belief system has trapped you. Because what do they use against you if you don't toe the line? We're going to take your possessions. That's how it works. That's how simply it works. That's how simply you're controlled.
Secure people do not want power over others. Insecure people want power over others. Secure people do not want to control events all the time. They're quite happy to flow with the way life goes. These people are so insecure for many and various reasons, which would be take a lot of time to explain, and therefore they want to control everything.
Because they own this place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these richers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all.
An economic system that is so sane that the more successful it is in its own terms, the quicker it destroys the planet. It's the perfect environmental and human assassin. It insists every year that we take more from the earth even quicker, turn it into even more things, sell even more things, consume even more things, throw away even more things, to worship the real god of the modern world, economic growth. It insists that every year, 20% of the people of the world consume 80% of the resources, while leaving the other 80% to get by on the other 20%.
Create a core belief system, get everyone to subscribe to it, and all you will do for the rest of your lives is defend it. And especially if someone like me comes along and says, oh no, it's not like that. Oh, bum off, you're just a tattoo carpenter. What do you know? Not a great deal. I know something different to what you do. And we all do, actually. When we're talking to people, we all know something different, if we care to listen. But we use these little things called, we use a thing in our lives called judgment. We judge. We judge people by the clothes they're wearing. We judge people by the way they look, by the colour of their skin.
And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue that's being sold every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Is they'll create groups that are for something that they want, and they'll create groups that are against something or appear to be against something that they want. And now they've controlled both sides. Everyone has an argument, a debate, a protest, and people think, oh, it's a free world, free country, because look, there's protest and there's argument going on and discussion, yeah. But they know what the blooming outcome's going to be. The side that that is pressing for what they want is the one that's going to prevail. So this is how it works. And what they don't understand, therefore, because they do not have the capacity for that because of their own state of being, they do not understand or know how to handle people who are not in fear either of them or death or any of it. They can't handle that because they can't understand it, because that's not where they're at. And so it's interesting that in some of their writings, some of the documents that have come to light, they talk about the great danger to their plan of what they call maverick people. People who are not frightened of them, people who are not programmed by the system to think and see the world the way the system wants them to. They are very dangerous to this tyranny, and we need more of them.
Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. They shuffle around every 4 years. Doesn't mean a thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on Election Day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is when I get finished, I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks. Thank you very much.
What happens if you don't concern? What happens to everyone who's producing products for you to consume if you don't consume them products? Ah, now we're getting the picture. So who holds the power? Exactly.
The limitation of riots, moral questions aside, is that they cannot win and their participants know it. Hence, rioting is not revolutionary but reactionary because it invites defeat. It involves an emotional catharsis, but it must be followed by a sense of futility. And what we need is not to riot, not to be violent, not even to go in mass protests, so be my guest if people want to do that. But they're not frightened of protests, this gang. They're terrified of us not complying with our own enslavement. And when we stop doing that, they've lost their power. No violence necessary.
That reminds me of something Martin Luther King said. I believe, unless he was quoting Martin Luther King, I think it's the same thing. Something to ponder. Yesterday I did a 6-hour from noon to 6 p.m. Webinar. It was packed. I'm sorry for the people who tried to get on and couldn't, but we were just inundated with people. I took 1 5-minute break for everyone to get up and stretch, and otherwise it was nonstop information. I will make that available probably within the next today or tomorrow sometime, so those of you who missed it, you can download it. But we had a lot of very intelligent and well-thought-out questions and issues about how to get off the grid. And the number one way you get off the grid is first you stop supporting it. That means stop reading the New York Times, the Washington Post, watching CNN. Anything that supports the neoliberal state, disengage from. Anything that supports the big box stores and corporatization, stop buying there. The idea is not to support them financially. The idea is to stop supporting them completely. Then they don't have control over you. So something to think about. Now, I spent 6 hours on that and still didn't get everything in, but there's time to do another one. And I have another project coming up. I will be announcing it starting tomorrow. We're just getting it ready today. Brand new film, brand new documentary. Very, very powerful documentary. I'm not going to talk about what it is, but we're going to do it as a webinar. But brand new. This is not Last Call for Tomorrow, which just is almost at 200 International Film Festival Award wins and finalists. And that will be premiering in the very near future. I'll let you know about that. Anyhow, I have 3 documentaries I'm filming around the world right now, 7 books writing that will be coming out, the first one tomorrow, the next one the day after tomorrow, the third one next week or the week after. So articles, documentaries, calls to action, all meant to disengage from the man, the establishment, those in control, and reestablish a healthy, vibrant sense of self with others in a more open and spiritual way. Now a few words. This is from Rob Urie, U-R-I-E, from Counterpunch. The article is entitled Neoliberalism is Fascism with Better Manners. I'm only going to cite a couple lines of this and then open it up for your feedback. Quote, "The best use of the New York Times is usually catching up on CIA's talking points for the day. However, back in June 2019, it published a surprisingly hard-hitting article on Joe Biden's history of crafting and promoting the odious bill that created this modern militarized police and a police state. The money shot is a quote from Mr. Biden, where he seemingly takes credit for mass incarceration. Quote, this is from Joe Biden. Every major crime bill since 1976 that's come out of this Congress, every minor crime bill has had the name of the Democratic senator from the state of Delaware, Joe Biden, end quote. With Biden's currently drafting, quote, domestic terrorism legislation, alarm bells should be sounding. Considered along with his contribution to the Patriot Act, the National Security and Surveillance State wish list passed in the aftermath of 9/11, Biden appears to be the central protagonist linking domestic political repression to the neoliberal project. And then it goes further into that. So what it does, he details all of Biden's support for these police state acts, the National Defense Authorization Act, et cetera. Quote, the 1994 crime bill that Mr. Biden authored produced massive political violence against mostly poor people, given racial composition by class through the identification lens favored by neoliberal Democrats. The crime bill makes Mr. Biden one of the most ardent racists of the 20th century. And while the merger of corporate and state power might read like a definition of ordinary industry policy, it gives motive to the preponderance of the Nazis' military expansion. And, quote, the liberal view of the political violence caused by the 1994 crime bill is neither political nor violence, is based on racial ignorance. Richard Nixon conceived the war on drugs to control his political enemies. Ronald Reagan gathered the resources to prosecute it, and Joe Biden wrote the legislation that gave it institutional force. In my neighborhood, three generations of community elders will spend the rest of their lives in prison, leaving behind spouses and children to fend for themselves in the post-industrial wasteland that neoliberalism has wrought. Again, the war on drugs that put them there was a political strategy, not a moral crusade. The term public-private partnership reads like a relatively innocuous form of pooling resources to achieve social outcomes. Through the neoliberal ethos, the distinction between the public and private realms has been fading as private corporations have been hired to provide public services such as education through charter schools, incarceration through private prisons, military functions through producing material, and increasingly active combat. Public debate regarding these arrangements has centered on their efficacy more than their form. That this public-private amalgam is central to the definition of fascism tends to be parsed through perceptions of motives. Anyhow, it goes on and on and on. It's a long article, but a very timely one. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And by the way, tomorrow evening on the Progressive Commentary Hour, we'll be having on one of the world's most important economists, and he'll be talking about, in depth, about the Great Reset in ways that no one else has discussed. So Peter will be on tomorrow. It'll be an interesting discussion. So hope you tune in. Now, when I get a call here, if we get a call, I'll take it right up. Oh, want to mention, Valentine's Day is coming up, and we decided to do something special. So I made something brand new that we've never offered before. This is a series, and we're entitling it Love in the Time of Distress or Despair, because we can't forget the power of love. And it shouldn't be for Valentine's Day. It should be we should love our neighbor. We should love each other. If someone chooses not to accept or project love, that's their business. But you shouldn't judge someone, well, I'm not going to love you because I'm not going to share love with you because you're, and then you start listing all the different ways that you're you're editing your love. Here are the 5 CDs that you will get in this beautiful kit: The Way of Love and Relationships, The Epigenetics of Love and Relationships. This one has Dr. Bruce Lipton, the renowned molecular biologist and author of The Honeymoon Effect, Creating a Spiritual Marriage. We also have Ud and Vasalsa Sperling, founders of the Inner Traditions and authors for 7 lifetimes. Really deep. What goes on in your genes can directly impact love and relationships. The second one is Collapse of Relationships and Love in American Society. Why are people breaking up because of the lockdown? What's going wrong with that? What can we do to prevent that? How can we exceed that? We have Dr. David Riccio on that. Then we also have The Dynamics of Harmony and Conflict in Relationships and Marriage. Dr. Helen Hunt and Dr. Harvile Hendricks are there. They're very powerful. And the final CD is Why Men Have Difficulty with Love and Intimacy. Dr. Michael Kimmel on that one. And then I've thrown in 2 additional ones. One's on the whole idea of sexual fulfillment, something we don't talk about in our lives. What blocks people from being sexually fulfilled? And so I go into great depth on this one. And also on the one that I have, that DVD, on love, every aspect of love. This was done before a live audience, and I was taking questions directly in real time. This is a couple hours long. And we have another part of the CD here, America's Collapse of Healthy Relationships and Sexuality, The Life-Transforming Power of Sacred Sexuality, Spiritual Dimensions of Life. So a whole lot of good CDs and 2 DVDs. So if you'd like this as a gift for yourself or others, you can give a call. And our order number is, let's see, it's 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. You haven't heard these. And I put them together because I felt if there's one thing that we could all use more of today, it's sharing love on all levels. The happiness, the joy, the sense of trust and feeling of connection, the harmonizing of minds, creating together, all that is a part of that. And I think it could help a lot of people who are going through a little rough time right now, and not to let the distress and despair of all that we're faced with be the guiding light in our life right now. Instead, let us get back to letting love open doors of opportunity. Let love get us away from feeling that we're helpless and hopeless, and that somehow we're emotionally destitute. There's a whole other way of looking at our crisis, where it's an opportunity to break through instead of just breaking down. So give a call, brand new CD set, and the number to call again is 877-627-5065. And by the way, someone asked yesterday, I think, about the special that I offered last week. We will honor that this week as well. And I don't have the information on that at hand, but it's got the Curing the Incurable Cookbook, and it's got, I think it's Power Berry Blast. Anyhow, I'm not sure what it is, but you can call and ask about the package special. All right, and let's just see if we have no calls. Okay, I thought someone would have something to say about that. Anyhow, we have some real heavyweights lined up this week as guests, and we're also going to be, I'll just give you a brief update of some things I'm doing that I'll be sharing with you. I'm going to be putting together, starting next week, the video library that will be free on every topic I've dealt with in the last 45 years, because we have it all archived. And we've had 2 people who have come down here, and they've put it all together. Dave is there now, and we're moving the final tapes that have all been cataloged and archived into the editing suite. And now the last stage is just watching the films and then if there's a film on cancer, alternative approaches, and we have 6 hours, and I filmed all over the world, which is one of them, then each one of those people I filmed will be a separate section that you can go to and get cancer, alternative approaches, boom, 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 and everyone that I've ever interviewed will be there. So good things are coming, and that's a big project. I'm told we have Daryl from the Bronx on. Daryl, hi, your turn.
Gary, I really want to appreciate all the work you do, and I appreciate you getting back to my mom. With regard to Joe Biden, I'm looking at the Harry Truman model. Maybe I'm being a little bit optimistic. However, since he's finally gotten what he's been seeking for the last, 70 years or so, perhaps we have an opportunity if we push. One of the people on the George Carlin clip who said our most powerful thing is to refuse to cooperate with our own demise. And so that's what I'm looking for. I want to organize people to reframe their brainwashing into, I got to go to the job because I won't be able to eat. I won't be able to clothe myself. We need to remove that terror and replace it with do things that are in your interest.
I would agree with that, Daryl. That's what we do. Look, every time you hear something that challenges the official narrative, you have a personal responsibility, and we have a collective responsibility to look for the truth without first identifying our ideology that filters that truth. And that's why we have so much conflict today, and the identity politics is a good example of that. And that's why we're engaged in a cultural war right now, and then a class war that is exceeding all other wars and conflicts. Those who have the power have the control. They become the policymakers. We didn't elect them. Like, you didn't elect anyone to Davos. You didn't elect anyone to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Business Roundtable. You didn't elect anyone to the American Legislative Exchange Council and all the tens of thousands of bills that they created at the state level that became laws. So the people who need the control over us do not allow us an opportunity to select them or even hold them to account. The people that we hold to account are always the political people, and those are not policymakers. Joe Biden's not a policymaker. Donald Trump wasn't a policymaker. Barack Obama wasn't a policymaker. They're opinion leaders. They're told what the policies will be. Their job is through their various, let's say, personalities and capacity for persuasion is to convince people that something is in their best interest, and therefore, if you vote against it or protest against it, you're on the wrong side of history. It's for us to see, are they telling us the truth? Had we done that, we wouldn't have been in Vietnam. Had we done that, we wouldn't have gone and after 9/11 and created a truth commission that was completely stacked with pro-establishment deep state people. We wouldn't have accepted Warren Commission. We wouldn't have accepted the consequence of the inquiry into Martin Luther King or Robert Kennedy Jr.'s death. We wouldn't have accepted the weapons of mass destruction. We wouldn't have accepted that Assad was responsible for nerve gassing his own citizens, none of which was true. So all these calamities around the world, all the things that we need to do, like get your credit card and get 2% back, but I'm still paying 16%. What kind of math is it that I give you? You give me 2%, I give you 16% back. We're not thinking deeply. We need to go to a deeper, more observant area and make our decisions. Then we know what is the truth, and we can support what we believe is the truth, but we're not supporting because of politics, ideology, religion, ethnicity, culture. We're looking for the science of a pure thought. That's what's missing in most people. That is there in about 7% of the people, and I believe because of circumstances, we should not react, because then we will lose our strength. We should reason, which gains our strength. Daryl, thank you for calling. I always appreciate your input. All the best. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for listening in. And let me mention that our special I just saw here, the Valentine special, is not just this new CD set of really empowered, insightful voices, and then the two DVDs that come with the five CD set. And it's half price. But also the dark chocolate bar, the Curing the Incurable cookbook, Be a Healthy Woman DVD, hair care DVD, Age is Only a Number DVD, along with the special from last week, which also was the Power Berry Blast. And instead of paying $304 for all that, you're paying $139. You're getting 50% off. So we've got two different specials for you today and the rest of this week for Valentine's Day. All right? Have a nice day, everyone.